So from Colossians 3, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's a long quote on the handout, which I'm going to read out. This is from a sermon, Heaven, a World of Love, that I've referred to a few times recently by Jonathan Edwards. So here we go. That is the 18th century theologian, not the triple jumper. What rest is there in that world which the God of peace and love fills with his own gracious presence, and in which the Lamb of God lives and reigns, filling it with the brightest and sweetest beams of his love, where there is nothing to disturb or offend, and no being or object to be seen that is not surrounded with perfect amiableness and sweetness, where the saints shall find and enjoy all that they love, and so be perfectly satisfied, where there is no enemy and no enmity, but perfect love in every heart and to every being, where there is perfect harmony among all the inhabitants, no one envying another, but everyone rejoicing in the happiness of every other, where all their love is humble and holy and perfectly Christian, without the least carnality or impurity, where love is always mutual and reciprocated to the full, where there is no hypocrisy or dissembling, but perfect simplicity and sincerity. If you don't know what dissembling is, don't worry, I don't either. Someone can tell me afterwards, but it's a great quote. So that's Jonathan Edwards talking about heaven, the world of love that people can look forward to being part of. God, the Trinity, is a God of love. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, having loved one another for eternity, their love being an outgoing, overflowing love. That's why God created the universe. It's why he created us, to enjoy that love, to be part of that love forever. That's the future of God's people, heaven, a world of love. And that'll be the focus for us, God willing, at the Annaby Churches for this coming year. At the Annaby Churches, we decided a few years ago, we are a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus Christ across the Annaby communities and beyond. We love Jesus, we're excited by Jesus, we see him as our hope, our joy, our life. We long for others to know him and receive the life that he gives and to be passionate about him. And we're a community, we've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit around the throne of Jesus who rules us by his words. And we can go further. As Christ's church, we are beautiful. We're part of the blood-bought, perfected, pure, holy bride of Christ. As Paul writes in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That is the spiritual reality of the church, splendid, without spot or wrinkle or any blemish, holy, beautiful. We may not always see it, but that is the glorious spiritual reality. reality about the church in general and about the Anderby churches in particular. So that's our purpose, our long-term vision as a church, a purpose that will continue regardless of other things that might hit us. And we seek to go about our purpose in three ways. Again, we worked these things out a few years ago. So making disciples who make disciples, supporting mission in West Hull and beyond, and sending disciples to bless the Anderby communities. And each year we pause to ask the question, what might God have in store for us this year? Where might he be leading us? And the church councils have been asking that question over the last few months, and we're going to think about where we've got to today. So here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. We're going to recap a little bit from Colossians 3. We looked at it back in November, but it's got quite a lot of overlap with these things that we've been considering. Then we'll think about how that might impact in the year ahead with a particular focus on four things. And we'll, as we go, we'll think about what that means for us individually. But just to whet your appetite, here's a summary of what the focus might be for the year ahead. On the handout, to seek by God's grace to grow as a prayerful community of mutual love, living out the joyful, loving life of the Trinity in our relationships with each other, which then flows out into the wider community. Well, let's briefly look at what we've seen from Colossians. And if you want to recap on this, the sermon was given on the 27th of November, so you could look that up on the website. The week before, in Colossians 3, 1-8, we saw that spiritually, Christians, those who are repenting and believing, are already seated with Christ in heaven. Already seated with Christ. And that's not because of what we've done, not because of how we've lived, rather it's because of Christ and what he's done. He's died, he's been raised, and through faith union with him, we too have died and been raised and are seated with him in heaven, even now. And then in verses 9 to 17, we saw that we are a new creation being renewed in God's image. We saw that we have a new identity. We are holy and dearly loved. We saw that we are a new community. Individually, we're God's deeply loved children. Together, we're the bride of Christ, holy, pure. We'll spend eternity with Christ and with the Father, delighting in and loving, first of all, God, and then one another. And we saw that as those who belong in the world of love, we might say as those who are the bride of Christ, we should seek to live as a community of love. And then in verses 13 to 17, we saw various examples of what that looks like. I won't dwell on that now because we'll look at some examples in a few moments. So that really is the foundation of our focus for the year ahead, as we seek by God's grace to grow as a prayerful community of mutual love. If you were on the church day away back in June, seems like a long time ago now, but back in June in East Hull, you'll know that one way that this way of living is described is gospel culture, living out the gospel with each other. Let me say a bit more about that. Tragically, it's possible for a church to believe gospel truth, to know the truth of the gospel, but not to live it out, for it not to impact the way God's people relate to each other. I'm sure that's been true of us in the past. Sadly, it's true of many churches around. So just to give an example, I might say in my sermon that we're saved by grace and that God equips us to serve him by grace. But then I might demand things from you, demand that you behave in a particular way or that you serve in a certain way. That would be gospel doctrine without gospel culture. A gospel approach would be not to demand things, but to remind us who we are in Christ, to encourage us to pray in the power of the Spirit, to show grace when we fail, because we all fail. I fail. To use the encouragements and exhortations that Scripture gives, and so on. So gospel culture is simply living out what we say we believe, living out the gospel of grace, living out the goodness, truth, and beauty of God and the community he's formed through his Son, living out the goodness, truth, and beauty of the community we will be in heaven for eternity, living out the reality that we are the bride of Christ, the household of God, the body of Christ. What might it look like in practice? Well, as I said, we came up with some examples on the Church Day Away, and it's in the handout on page 3 in the appendix. So you might like to just have a look at that now on page 3 of the handout. And maybe just take a moment to have a read through that list and just ask yourself, which do you find most attractive? Which do you most struggle with? And what about the church? What are we good at? What do we struggle with as a church? Just take a moment to have a think about that. I do encourage you to keep reading through that list in the week ahead and reflecting on those questions. Notice as well, as we live like this, it will have an impact on the surrounding community. One of our theme verses for the year is John 13, famous verse, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." As we love one another, others notice. And if the love we have for each other is like the love of the Trinity, it will be a love that overflows. And we'll think more next week about that crucial question, what is love? And I'm not talking about a 1990s cheesy song. So I don't know about you, but I long to be part of a community like this, a community that reflects the love of the Trinity, a community that displays the beauty of the gospel, a community that is deeply attractive. And wonderfully, we're already seeing that kind of community. Someone was saying to me not so long ago that at the Annaby churches, they feel community like they've never felt it at another church. And even when we don't feel that community, even when we don't see it, we can remember that spiritually we already are that community. We're already part of that, and we will be part of it for eternity in the world of love. So here are four things that the church councils have committed to focus on this year. First of all, prayerfully seek to nurture gospel culture in every part of church life. There are lots of different areas of church life: WOW, life groups, Sunday services, Ablaze, Sparks, Connect Cafe, music, to name just a few. Also, there's the Annaby Communities Trust, which is linked to the churches, the community garden which that operates. And I'd encourage leaders of those different ministries to be thinking, what would it look like for gospel culture to develop in this area of church life? And we'll talk more about that in due course. And then for each of us individually, there's a simple question we can be asking day by day and week by week. How do I obey this part of God's word, particularly in the context of the church? That's ultimately what it's about, isn't it? Hearing God's word and then putting it into practice in our relationships. Secondly, prayerfully seek to develop community in every part of church life. The church community was hit pretty hard by COVID lockdowns, and we're all still slightly hesitant about engaging in community, but it's vital, isn't it? It's vital because we need community, we need each other, and it's vital because of who we are, the bride of Christ, the household of God, the body of Christ. And the recent meals at 4 o'clock have certainly helped. I certainly think they've helped. And I know lots of people meet up individually or in groups, formally or informally, and I praise God for that. Let me mention a couple of things in particular for us to perhaps think about. So the first is friendship. Friendship's vital, isn't it? We all need friends. We all need Christian friends. And I'd encourage us all to be a friend to others and to seek friends at the Annaby churches. And if someone takes the initiative to be a friend to you, someone reaches out to you, then I'd encourage you to grab that with both hands. And why not take the initiative with someone else? And then second, hospitality. Being hospitable is core to being a Christian. The Apostle Peter writes, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." And Paul writes, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And again, there are wonderful examples of those who do show hospitality amongst us. And I'd encourage all of us to ask, how can I show hospitality to others? For some, it'll mean opening up our home, cooking a meal, having someone around to play a game or watch a film. For others, it might mean taking the initiative to go out for a coffee or a walk. For all of us, it'll mean being aware of those who need hospitality, who have different kinds of needs. And as we show hospitality, so we can mix up people we know who are Christians and those who are not Christians. And that's one of the most powerful ways of non-Christians getting to know more about the love of Jesus. So here's a question for each of us individually. How can I be involved in nurturing community, in building friendship, in showing hospitality? And life groups will be thinking about these things a bit more this week. So that's another opportunity to go a bit deeper into these things. And if you're not in a life group, then this would be a great time to join as we start the new term. Thirdly, continue to prioritize children and youth work while considering all outreach to be important. And we've included this as a priority because during 2022, we had to reduce what we did for several reasons. So we thought it was important to keep on communicating that commitment. Why is children and youth work important? I did a bit of research recently, and I saw that consistently, it is found, certainly in the UK and in the US, that around 80% of adult Christians came to faith before the age of 18. Let me say that again. 80% of adult Christians came to faith before the age of 18. So therefore, whatever else we do as a church, our work among children and youth is absolutely vital if there are to be mature Christian disciples in the years to come. Now, of course, it's vital we reach out to all age groups, and we are seeking to do that. We have WOW, we have Connect Cafe, we have Essentials, and there's a course starting this week. The Community Garden, just to name a few. But it's also vital we continue to support and to grow our work among children and young people. I'm grateful to the amazing team of leaders we have, helping lead Sparks and Ablaze and the Holiday Clubs and so many other things. And it's worth saying we're in the process of trying to raise funding for to employ a children and youth worker for this vital area. So again, a question, think about how can I support outreach to children and youth or children and young people? Maybe through prayer, we can all pray, maybe through giving, maybe through, for some of us, through serving. Fourth, responding as appropriate to any changes that take place in the Church of England. I'm not going to say much about this today because we still don't know what is going to be proposed by the bishops and what is going to be agreed by General Synod. But we do know that there is the potential for some fairly massive changes to what the Church of England believes or how it's organised, and therefore it's important as we look ahead to the year that we think about this. So what I will say at this point is that as a church, we remain committed to publicly upholding biblical truth. Nothing will change that. But it's also worth saying that whatever happens, it will take time for the church councils to work out how to respond. So if there's no immediate response, that's not necessarily a sign we're comfortable with whatever has happened. And we'll also seek as much as possible to keep in step with other like-minded churches in Hull, in York Diocese, the Diocesan Evangelical Fellowship, the Church of England Evangelical Council, and I have to say 80% of the Anglican Communion worldwide, 80% continues to hold to biblical truth. But of course, if at any point you would like to talk about any concerns or any questions, I'd love to be very happy to meet up to do that. And so, something to think about. Do I have questions or concerns I need to talk to someone about in that area? Other things we'll seek to do, I'm just going to mention a couple. So at some point, the second phase of the work on the St. Mark's Hall will be undertaken. You may remember a few years ago, the front was redone and made to look fantastic, as it does now. The same thing needs to be done to the back. That's quite a major work, but that's a really important thing, so that the hall can continue to be used to serve the church and the community in the future. And we'll also continue to seek God's way forward for the ministry among men at the Annaby churches and in the community. And there is a meeting on Wednesday, which I will mention later, which I'd ask for your prayers for. So do please pray with me for the year ahead, as we seek by God's grace to grow as a prayerful community of mutual love, living out the joyful, loving life of the Trinity in our relationships with each other, flowing out into the wider community. We're going to have a time of prayer now, and I'm going to pray into some of what we've just thought about. So, if you look on your handout to, again, the appendix list, what might gospel culture look like? Maybe you came up with something that is particularly attractive. You might like to just pray quietly that that becomes more and more of a reality amongst us. If you're aware of something that perhaps you're less good at, or the church is less good at, then again, pray that the Holy Spirit would work in us in that particular area. Let's just do that on our own for about a minute or so. And then if you look across to the left-hand page, under two, to think about how can I be involved in nurturing community, building friendship, showing hospitality. Again, just think for a moment about that and then commit it to the Lord in prayer. And then we pray together for the children and youth work at the Annaby churches. We thank you, Father, for children and young people amongst us. We thank you and commit to you the many children and young people in the community. And we do pray that you would cause many of those to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so we pray that you would enable us as a church to reach out in the ways that you want us to do that. and for the Church of England. We continue to pray that the Church of England would uphold biblical truth. And we pray, whatever happens, that you would give us wisdom here at the Underby Churches and other like-minded churches to know how to publicly uphold biblical truth. And we do pray for ourselves. We bring before you any things that are on our hearts, on our minds at this time, things that we're anxious about. And we take a moment to pray for someone that we know who's particularly struggling at the moment. And we do pray for Vicky Hansen, due to have an operation on Tuesday. We do pray, Father, that that would be able to go ahead and that it would be successful. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.